Mangan.com.
Jack Mangan.
Are we
podcasters?
Or are we children? Of what use are all these melodramatic gestures? You say your soul was killed, that you have been
deadpan
all these years. And what of me? Did we not both die here in Marmaris 15 years ago? Are we not both the living dead?
Panites.
And now you come to me, playing at being an avenging angel, childishly thirsting for my blood. We understand each other too well. We know too much of life. We shall play a little game, a game of
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
If you like. Come. Come. Come.
Hey, and welcome to Deadpan number 217, Jay. Thank you for listening, Jay. I'm your host, Jack Mangan, Jay. Is it just me, Jay, or does it seem that emails from cell phones always append a mysterious J to the end of the messages, Jay? That is my first initial, so it took me years, Jay, to figure out that people weren't just addressing their comments to me, Jay. All right, this is not a full Palooza episode, but we do still have some Palooza hangover stuff covering The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, so we'll just call that section of the episode Young Deadpan Plays It Safe. In the meantime, there's some long overdue and long-awaited reactions to the Amy Bowen and retro version of Still Alive that appeared in Deadpan number... Fuck. Deadpan... 213. Way to be fucking organized, Jack. All right. Now that the intro babble has completely gone off the rails, here's a promo from one of our favorite peers and friends in the podcast world.
Oh, what is all that noise? Ems, what are you doing?
Oh, hi, Heather.
I just thought I'd get an early start setting up for the Masters of Macabre challenge.
On my lawn?
Well, my lawn's not big enough for all this stuff, and the crowds are going to be huge. Oh, excuse me.
What is that thing?
Not sure, but it was in the hardware department, and the guys are gonna battle with it. So where do you think I should set up the log carving contest?
Wait a minute. Ems, stop. This Masters of the Macabre contest is not a feat of strength competition.
It isn't?
No, it's a writing competition for male horror writers. We've got stories from Chris Ringler, R. Michael Burns, Jerry Davis, Rish Outfield, Colin Barnes, Tom Andre, Shaughnessy Ashdown, and Don Pizzolatis. Horror addicts are supposed to listen and then vote for who they think is the first Masters of Macabre winner.
Oh, I guess I better cancel that order for the 500 pies then.
Pies? Well, don't be too hasty. Come inside, we'll have some tea, and listen to the stories. Then you can vote by sending your choice to horroraddicts@gmail.com. You know, one lucky voter actually wins a Horror Addicts prize pack.
That does sound a lot easier than setting up this log-throwing contest. Do you know how heavy that thing is?
I can only imagine.
Listen to the Masters of Macabre challenge at horroraddicts.net.
Stories post September 15th and voting ends on October 1st. Don't miss out on your chance to win. What was that?
promise you won't be mad?
Emery and Rich.
Good thing I can listen to these on my iPod. Gotta go!
Oiga, señor. We are...
Deadpanites.
You know.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Community.
If you're the...
Deadpanites.
Where are your badges? Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Hello, Deadpan. It's LeJean from Chandler, and I was calling in regard to episode 213, at the very end, This is a Triumph. And it was just odd to me to hear this funny little song that Amy Bowen sang and Retro had put together. And I had no idea what it was from. So obviously I had to go and look it up. Thanks a lot, guys. Turns out it's from Portal, a game I've never played. And even if I had, I probably wouldn't have heard this music at the end. So I found the song online, and sure enough, it sounds very similar to the way Amy Bowen portrayed it. So I did a comparison. I put the two together. One track in the left ear, and one track in the right. And it's really fucking creepy how close they came together. So I sent it to you, Jack. Hopefully you'll appreciate it as much as I did. Talk to you later. Bye.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. Then the science gets done and you make a neat run for the people who are still alive. I'm not even
Hey, this is Mike Nelson, and you're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Keep it tuned here.
Amy, in retro, I think that your song was really cool, and Jack's participation is a winner. So here I am calling, riding your coattails, yes, it's true. But how can I not want to join in on the fun here with you? So I make a comment that will go with this tune, and I know you're hoping it will surely end soon. But I had to take time to salute you in rhyme for your version of I'm Still Alive. Yes, I really liked it. It was fine. And Jack's baseline was awfully divine. Now I think that I am out of...
So, I'm with Stupid would have to be the worst ever wedding ring inscription.
Hey, Deadpan, this is Paul Mackey, and Fox has something to say.
The favorite part is Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Deadpan is the way.
Deadpan is the way.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, Deadpan, it's Andrea. Long time no talk. In fact, so long I didn't realize that the number changed. So I have a dumb story. I'm incapable of using an iPhone properly, and I'm constantly hitting the screen with my face and whatnot and putting people on mute or calling people I don't mean to call, and it's really bad. But I was going to my favorite menu on my iPhone. For those of you who don't know, there's like you can put your the people you call the most in a little favorite list, and you manually put people in there. And I went to call Hugh, and I look at my favorite list, and somehow I put Deadpan on my favorite list. So I felt like I should, that means that I was supposed to call. And then I tried to call and realized that I had the wrong number, and so that was bad. So that was my story. Bye.
When gravity dies, the scallop breath of the Big Bang ends her jog toward the infinite, no longer with purpose. Black holes shine, spit light. Digested matter slings out. Ripped divots of space-time uncompress like bed springs. Galaxies stop their whirlpool dance. Stars twist their dimmer switches, a slow fade as cores release their last gasps of fusion. Gamma rays, bullets of light, funnel up fallopian tubes of stellar plasma towards the dark aquarium of space. Planets are snipped from suns, cast off in tangents from elliptical bondage. No more supernovas with their invisible rain of neutrinos. The seven sisters of the Pleiades, each Mary, move away from home. The gear and cog orbits of satellites and space stations pop like party streamers. The crescent moon tills a ditch through space. Her hyperbolic cheek reflects the last milky beam of sunlight. She leaves Earth, her rib of creation.
Why are they called perfectly normal beasts?
Old Thrashbarg calls them that. He says they come from where they come from and they go to where they go to. And that it's Bob's will, and so it must be perfectly normal.
Oh. Who's Bob?
Don't ask. Random, would you like a perfectly normal beef sandwich?
I'm a vegetarian!
Ah.
You are going to have the most excellent adventure.
Hello, Deadpan, it's LaJean from Chandler.
How's it going, fruit dude?
Chiming in on the Hitchhiker Palooza.
Have a look at this.
What is it?
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a sort of electronic book. It'll tell you everything you want to know. That's its job.
I like the cover. Don't panic. It's the first helpful or intelligible thing anybody said to me all day.
That's why it sells so well.
I met The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe.
But the universe? Screw the universe!
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a truly remarkable book.
Many years ago, back in the 80s.
Well, that's the point. It's out of date now.
I'm not sure what I got started on. It probably was the books, but it might have been the computer game. I remember that text game.
I love this woman.
Got very disappointed with it.
You are such a geek.
Because I couldn't get tea and no tea at the same time. You couldn't apparently obtain tea and no tea, although it's supposed to be able to have been done. I had the first four books in the trilogy.
Mostly harmless.
At one point. I don't have them now. I'm not sure what happened. They seem to have disappeared. I still have a large, doesn't-fit-on-a-shelf illustrated edition of The Hitchhiker's Guide.
It's a very mysterious and powerful device.
And its mystery is exceeded only by its power.
I have the original comic book number one somewhere.
It is all that stands between the universe and completely violent destruction.
I own the original radio plays.
Way to go, Egghead.
At one point, I owned the television show, but due to a burglary in 1993, I lost those tapes. I really enjoyed the series, as one might surmise from owning so many pieces of it.
Gleaming control panels? Flashing lights? Computer screens? Not old mattresses.
Douglas Adams, I thought, was a brilliant writer.
Largely concerned with the movements of small green pieces of paper.
After getting through the first four books, which were the only ones at the time.
Which is odd, because on the whole, it wasn't the small green pieces of paper that were unhappy.
I went searching for other Douglas Adams stuff. I found Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency and The Long Dark Time of the Soul. I eventually acquired the Starship Titanic, the video game designed by, or written by, Douglas Adams. At least he had a hand in it.
It is a very mysterious and powerful device.
And its mystery is only exceeded by its power.
Yeah, we know.
Okay, and we don't have it.
And, of course, the most recent movie, which a lot of people will say somewhat disappointing. And on several levels it is disappointing because they didn't go far enough. But I was really pleased by the So Long and Thanks for All the Fish musical number, as well as little bits. I liked the way that Mos Def played the Ford Prefect character.
Excuse me, do you rule the universe?
I try not to.
I thought that was an interesting new take on it.
Hey, you're Jack. How you doing? It's great to see you, big boy. How's the noise? You're looking really great. Very, very fat and unwell. Amazing. Remember the old days? We used to hang out, right? The Bistro Illegal, remember? Slim's Throats Emporium. The Deadpan Podcast. Great days, eh? And when we were hungry, we posed as public health inspectors. Remember that? We'd go around confiscating meals and drinks, right? Till we got food poisoning. Oh, and then there's the long nights of talking and drinking in those smelly rooms, you know, the Deadpan Podcast forums, New Bedford. And you were always in the next room trying to write songs on your guitar. We hated them. You said you didn't care, and you said we did because we hated them so much. And you said you didn't want to be a star because you despised the star system. And we said, Hadron, Suliju, and me, we didn't think you had the option. And what do you do now? You buy star systems. Jack, you bastard. Rapidite out.
Now, it is such a bizarrely improbable coincidence that anything so mind-bogglingly useful could evolve purely by chance that some thinkers have chosen to see it as a final clinching proof of the non-existence of God. The argument goes something like this. I refuse to prove that I exist, says God. For proof denies faith, and without faith I am nothing. But, said man, the Babel fish is a dead giveaway, isn't it? It proves you exist, and so therefore you don't. QED. Oh dear, says God, I hadn't thought of that, and promptly vanishes in a puff of logic. Oh, that was easy, says man, and for an encore he proves that black is white and gets killed on the next zebra crossing.
As if.
As if we'd end the movie like that. Sure.
Let's do the Scooby-Doo ending.
Good call.
It brings us back to what the books are all about.
What's so unpleasant about being drunk?
You ask a glass of water.
Basically, making people laugh in Britain.
Oh yes, I thought that some of the metaphysical imagery was particularly effective.
Which apparently is something that people in the United States just don't get.
No way. No way.
That might explain the movie a lot. They took out the funny bits in order to dumb it down for us filthy, rotten, stinking Americans.
What is a geek?
No, I'm not bitter. So I guess I'll leave you with a few things to remember.
You'll need to have this fish in your ear.
Restaurant at the end of the universe.
Would you all like to see the menu, or would you care to meet the dish of the day?
Was different at both the radio play, the book, and the television series. Which I suppose is sort of the running gag, is that none of the versions actually were the same, except for the very basic principle that the Earth was destroyed at the beginning.
And what has happened to the Earth?
It's been disintegrated.
Has it?
Yes, it just boiled away into space.
To get Arthur Dent off of it. And there was, well, the restaurant, end of the universe.
This is Stan Mikita's Donuts. Excellent munchables.
In the television show, had a brilliant concept, this cow that wanted you to eat it.
It's an Amiglian major cow.
Which, I think, goes a long way, wouldn't you say?
Good evening, madame and gentlemen. I am the main dish of the day. May I interest you in parts of my body?
I think so.
Behold, behold! He ate the pig.
So there's this,
Don't forget to wind your watch!
Bit about digital watches.
They still think digital watches are a pretty neat idea.
And the politics.
To summarize, it is a well-known and much lamented fact that those people who most want to rule people are, ipso facto, those least suited to do it. To summarize the summary, anyone who is capable of getting themselves made president should on no account be allowed to do the job.
And the funny bits about normality and the towel.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has this to say on the subject of towels. A towel, it says, is about the most massively useful thing any interstellar hitchhiker can carry.
Could you give me a towel?
And whose universe is it anyway?
My universe is what happens to my eyes and ears. Anything else is surmise and hearsay.
Yeah, that's about it. That's what I've got. Deadpan is the way.
And we will be restoring normality as soon as we are sure what is normal anyway. Thank you.
This is SB, a.k.a. Smooth Like Butter. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan, it's always close enough to your mouth. Deadpan is the motherfucking way.
More bonus terrible wedding ring inscriptions. My other spouse is Lady Gaga. Shit happens. Not until you pry her from my cold dead hands. If you can't be with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with. This might as well be a handcuff. An expiration date. A 5-year, 50,000-mile warranty. An engraving of the fail whale. An engraved image of Scarlett Johansson. An engraved image of the mother-in-law. The serenity prayer. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. I want to fuck you like an animal. A divorce attorney's phone number. A quote from a pawn shop. Iron Maiden rules. Dear soulmate, please continue to put out at the same rate as before. This marriage null and void if Zoe Deschanel becomes available again and I have a shot. For better or worse, in sickness and in health, in resentment and nose hair and hair loss and weight gain and wrinkles and aging and pining for others and in-laws and crazy exes and the fading of all feelings. It's not real platinum. Her diamond is cubic zirconium. With this ring endeth the oral sex. Made in China exclusively for the Cracker Jack Company. It should at least beat a Charlie Sheen marriage. I'm loving it. I call the bed and not the couch when this goes south and we can no longer stand each other. I love you with all my heart, Jay.
Why a spoon, cousin? Why not an axe?
Because it's dull, you twit. It'll hurt more.
Now so. And keep the stitches small.
Click, 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 click. Was that a little too grim to close that out there? So SB says, we just finished S1 of Alphas. Dash, really enjoyed the season. Lopan says, he's the nephew of Space Lord Mother Mother. Lost Ralph says, quote, holy heatwave, Batman. The city is melting in the intense heat from the penguin's magnifying glass, close quote. New quote, don't worry, I packed my bat air conditioner into my utility belt. It will cool things down quickly, close quote. Ed from Texas says, well, I hope nobody had their retirement plans based on Netflix stock. Wee doggy. John Bowe says, the former. It is a little surreal. I mean, it's a series of steps, I understand. He was a good musician in HS, went to a good music college, joined up with MC Frontalot, and is now the bassist in Joe Coe's touring band. The last step to Magic the Gathering isn't really surprising, all in all, especially seeing the Magic the Gathering lessons from the Frontalot documentary Ellipsis. DJ Bunny says, the sun, watch out, it's evil. The first of the week, Vanamont said, dreaming of Ripley. Alright, I think that pretty much brings Deadpan number 217 to a close. We have one more thing from John Bowes, a.k.a. Paul Mackey, that will appear in a future episode. It's a reference to a song about Gauntlet. But for now, I think we're out. I think we're done. Oh, no, we're not. Fuck. Speaking of Paul Mackey, I have one more thing to go. And actually, I'll try to distance it from the F word, because it's actually a very cute thing. It's something I'd considered saving for the All Kids episode of Deadpan, which is still just over the horizon. But no, it's going to come up next. And beyond that will be the music. And I will not come back after that music. And no promises or guarantees, but I believe next week will be the return of Rich Gattino to the Deadpan. I do hope so, because it was a good conversation I had with him, and I was sitting on it. We recorded it before the Palooza, and we all know how long that fucking went on. Not a complaint, mind you. Hitchhiker's Guide is worthy of all this attention. Unlike certain other Deep Space historical franchises that may have gotten a lot of coverage around here. But hey, you know what? Actually, pretty damn soon, I'm going to drop the survey to determine our next Palooza. And it will come down to either Blade Runner, Buckaroo Banzai, or High Fidelity. So let's have some more voting this time around than we did for to choose Hitchhiker's Guide. Let's have some more voting participation. All right. Outro babble is completely done. Good night, Mush. Deadpan is the way. Thank you for listening. And I'll see you on the flip side.
Okay, so it was your first day of kindergarten today. How was that?
Good.
Good. Who's your teacher?
Mrs. Kennedy.
Mrs. Kennedy. All right. What do you think about your teacher?
I think she's good and she's fun. She let us play at recess.
Oh, yeah? What'd you have for lunch today?
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich and yogurt and graham crackers and white milk.
Wow, did you eat that all gone?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. What was the other choice? Was there another meal?
Yeah, but
what did the other
I
kids
don't
have?
Want it.
What was it?
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs. You've had a lot of hot dogs lately with all of the fairs and goings on in the fall, huh?
Yeah, so I got peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah? That's not the end. What else did you do today? You said something. You said that you have otter pride. Is that right?
Yeah, we have otter pride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's school spirit, is it? Is that what they call it? Yeah. Otter pride.
Yeah, otter pride.
Otter pride. And what was your favorite part of your school day?
When I went in the music room.
Oh, what did you do in the music room today?
I danced.
You danced.
Yeah.
Did they play some music and you danced?
Yeah.
Okay. How was the school bus? Were you scared this morning getting on? You seemed to run right to it and run right on the bus. Not scared?
No.
Were you scared finding your bus on the way home?
No.
Wow. Were you scared getting into the school?
No.
Yeah? Was anybody in your class scared that you could see?
No.
Did anybody cry?
No.
No? It was a pretty good day then.
Yeah.
Yeah? So, did you get a table assigned to you?
Oh, yeah. Two of them were assigned it to us.
Yeah? And what kind of friends do you have in your class with you at your table?
Well, did you know, like, lots of people go into whatever two of those two tables going.
Uh-huh.
They have enough chairs for all of them. Persons.
So do you have a table that you sit at, that you're going to sit at every day with certain kids at the school, at the class?
Yeah!
It's always a little bit different if there's a recording instrument, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, is that what you want to be done with the interview, Mr. Fox?
Yeah. Let's see it.
Then we can hear it. It's not a.
Okay.